The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to the Pride of Detroit PODcast, getting in here in the middle of the week again. And just getting the quick hits. We told you these would come. Quick hitter podcasts of each signing, instant reactions coming out whenever we get some. And we do have one more DB to add to the list here. I'm Chris Perfett, the adequate host, at Chris Perfett on Twitter. Joining me, as always, Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader at Detroit Online. Jeremy, we just saw each other. We talked on the last podcast about the day one of the tampering period signings, which was Carlton Davis and Marcus Davenport, Carlton Davis in the trade. And we talked a little bit about the offensive line here. We're going to focus today on the news that came down on Tuesday as the Lions enter in slot corner Amik Robertson of the formerly of the Las Vegas Raiders. And honestly, first blush, as I always like to check the reactions from people otherwise, and it seems to happen all the time now, Lions get a guy and it's like, wow, that's a hard character guy, really scrappy guy, fits in great with the culture, just sad to see him go, this, that, and the other thing from the Raiders fan base. So definitely fits the Lions to a T right now. It's still not a very big splash signing. This is more of a depth signing as the Lions have right now. How does this impact everything before we get into the numbers and the contract?
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of have to approach Lions free agency. If you're asking the question, what is this? How does this signing impact the Lions draft? The answer, like 95% of the time, is going to be it doesn't, because the Lions are going to try to fill all of the possible needs that they have in free agency. And that, yes, that includes depth signings like this, so that they can go into the draft and draft whoever the heck they want, whoever the heck they really, really like. And you don't have to love that strategy, but that's the one we're in for. And I get it. Like, honestly, I kind of like the cornerback room now. It's not perfect. It has its faults, but I kind of like this shotgun approach that Brad Holmes has really done 2 years in a row now, which is like, we're going to sign a bunch of guys with really, really high upside. We're going to sign them to short-term deals that don't hit the salary cap that much. And when eventually one of those sticks, we'll keep them around and we'll be okay. And in the meantime, we're going to try to find also that guy in the draft. They really liked Witherspoon last year. It would have been Witherspoon last year, but it didn't work out. And that's fine, because you continue to make moves like this. And yes, it didn't work out last year. I get it. But I like the two guys that they got. I really do. The thing is, you look at this roster now and you look at the outside corners they have. It's not just about having top end talent in this league, especially at corner, which is, you wouldn't think it, but tends to be a high injury risk position. Now the Lions have four guys that they should feel relatively comfortable being able to start out there in Cam Sutton, in Emmanuel Mosley, in Amik Robertson, and obviously also in Carlton Davis. I think you're assuming right now that Davis and Cameron Sutton are your two starters, but Amik Robertson is a very fun player, a guy who's young. And that's another thing about these signings. All of them are young. All these additions are young in that. So if they work out on this 1 year, then you either give them an extension next year, or in Amik Robertson's case, he kind of naturally gets an extension because his salary jumps up quite significantly in year two of this deal. So I don't know. I know I know everyone wants the big signing. I know everyone wants L'Jarius Sneed and big swings and things like that. But these are relatively low risk moves with high upside. And ultimately,
well, you're jumping all over the place. Let's
I know.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like, I just want to like say, you know, if you guys are expecting the home runs, those are going to come in April at the end of April every year.
Let's wait until the impact, the critique from fans on that. Let's put that aside for a second. Just I want to focus on the money and I want to focus on the roster right now with him. So as you say, like, I want to ask you straight up, like, is yes, no, like how much of he or even a percentage, how much do you expect him to really play outside? Because I kind of see this as a nickel corner signing, CB3, someone to take Brian Branch's spot, maybe even have Branch play a little bit of safety sometimes. But where do you go with Robertson as far as just first blush place on the roster?
I know he's 5'9", 183, but he's much better as an outside corner. He plays like a I want to pull the quote from the Raiders head coach. I'm losing everybody's name in my brain right now. Antonio Pierce says he's probably one of the more physical DBs as well. You can always see him punch the ball coming through, making tackles. I don't want to call it little man complex, but he walks around like he's 6'2", 220 sometimes, and he's fearless. He's an outside corner at heart. And so listen, and people have already made this connection. He's like Aaron Glenn. He is built like Aaron Glenn. And yes, that's not necessarily how corners are built anymore. It's maybe not the ideal build for a corner, but he's made it work, man. He's a scrappy little dude out there. And so I think you want him on the outside. And listen, if you can back up Brian Branch at the same time, sure, he can be like a Graham Glasgow of the defense.
Definitely continues. I kind of see it. We talked about this on the Carlton Davis podcast about how it seems the Lions continue to push this idea that they want to play press man coverage. Yep. That seems to be the identity they want to go for. This is what they seem to embrace. So I feel like the physicality of Amik Robertson continues to push that identity. We were kind of waiting to see what they'd come up with here. And I feel like, as with yesterday, this is part of their identity just really taking shape. 2 years, I believe, on the contract, worth about $9.25 million. And four and a half of that is about half of the contract is guaranteed. So,
yeah. And the cap hits are minimal, essentially. I think he's just over, I'm trying to find my tweet, 2.95 million this year is his cap hit. So, you know, a replacement level player that jumps to 6.35 next year, but they can get out of it pretty easily with, I think, less than $1.5 million dead cap next year. So this is essentially a 1 year tryout for him. It's very much almost like the John Kaminsky deal they gave him last year, where it was like 1 year. You're basically bottom of the barrel kind of raw, you know, salary will jump you to a big one next year if you ball out. And then it turns out he didn't ball out. And it turns out John Kaminsky took a $2 million pay cut as announced today. So it's again, low risk, high upside. That's what the Lions like to do here in free agency. And a lot of it makes sense because big deals don't always work out.
Background on him. He's been in the league about 4 years. I believe he was drafted fourth round in 2020 in a COVID year. So no RAS to go on. Trajectory in that he's always been playing in the games, but both games and games started trajecting upward. That's not even a word. Upwards. He's playing more games and games started each year with the Raiders. That's what I'm trying to get out of my brain right now. And each time he does it, you know, last couple of years, he's had two interceptions each year, forced a fumble back in 2022. So someone who once again just needs more time to really play. But ultimately someone who I still think at the end of the day, considering how open the room is, like, look, I know some fans were in love with some of the depth guys they had at corner that they like Jerry Jacobs. But I think this gives the Lions a lot more options going into camp as far as what they want to do with corner and who could win starting positions and even playing these three CB sets or whatever they want to do for it gives them more flexibility. And it's still, again, CB remains on the board for them going into the draft.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, because it's not only, I mean, to me, this is just building out your depth. You're way more comfortable. You don't have to rely on a Kindle Vildor or, you know, Khalil Dorsey coming off the bench. You have four outside corners that are capable right now. But you're right. Like, this doesn't take corner off the board at in the draft, because essentially you have nobody signed beyond this year. Technically, yes, you have Cameron Sutton signed to a third year in his 3-year deal. Technically, yes, Amik Robertson has a second year on his 2-year deal. But both of those are built in a way where you can get out of them very quickly. And then everyone else is only signed through this year. So, yes, corner is still very much on the table, despite the fact that the Lions have re-signed one, added one via trade, and added one via free agency.
Kind of comes at a time where they might need to kind of get creative of what they do with the DBs too, considering we also got the news today that CJ Gardner-Johnson will be signing with the Eagles, which is, as a personal note, very funny, considering what he has said about, been saying about Eagles fans this past calendar year. And believe you me, I work with an Eagles fan, and they have not ignored it at all. And he's got a 3-year deal there. So that's funny in that regard. It does mean that the tryout for the Lions didn't work out, got injured, was productive when he was healthy. Maybe puts more of an onus on safety. I don't know if they, I mean, we talked a little bit about Brian Branch in the past, that he gets qualified as a safety just because he's in an odd position as a DB. He's much more of the slot corner. I'll be curious to see what the Lions do with safety moving forward, even with Ifeatu Melifonwu. I think, as we talked about about a month back, CJ Gardner-Johnson kind of played himself off the roster, considering what the Lions had to do in his absence. So I feel like CBs are a little more set now. You just kind of want to see the Lions. What are you going to do with safeties, and what are you going to do? Where is Branch then? Because I mean, I know they've used him at corner. You seem to think this guy is going to be more of an outside corner in Amik Robertson. I see someone who's fairly versatile in both.
Yeah. I mean, he can definitely play both, but with CJ, like, I think we all knew the writing was on the wall. Maybe some people were in denial here, but I don't know. The minute when CJ Gardner-Johnson came back and he was part of a rotation at the end of the season, and he said, "I didn't go through all of this rehab just to be in the rotation." Mm-hmm. That was him signing his papers away, because the Lions really like Ify. The Lions like Kirby Joseph. Now, can they go into 2024 and be like, "All right, I guess we're set"? No, of course not. You always want to be deep at that position. They were kind of deep at it last year, considering they had CJ, considering they had Tracy Walker, but both those guys are gone now, and you have Brandon Joseph. No offense to him, but that's not something you can hang your hat on. They're going to need depth there. Thankfully, this is a great free agency year to have a need at safety, because there's still a ton of them out there. There's still Quandre Diggs, if you want to dream that. There's still, I think, John Johnson makes a lot of sense, the former Rams safety that was drafted under the Holmes regime. And with CJ, they were never going to give him a big deal. I'm kind of shocked that he got a 3-year, potentially up to $33 million. We don't really know how much real money is in that contract, but considering, you know, he had to sign a 1-year prove it deal last year, and he didn't get an opportunity to prove it because of the injury. Not entirely sure what the Eagles are doing there and why they didn't sign him last year and did this year. Maybe they're just in a better cap situation. But anyways, not surprised at the outcome there, but you're right. The safety is up there very high, I would say, on the team needs right now, and I expect them to address it in the next week or so here, along with maybe defensive tackle, definitely guard. I think those are probably your three top needs right now.
I'm noticing fans are still, we've tried to prime this pump for a while and explain, like, look, it's not about what we want. It's about what we think the team will do. And we've tried to tell people that if you're waiting for the Lions to make a splash signing, you're going to be waiting a long time. And to be honest, I think you should be fine with that. Teams that make these big splash signings, I don't want to all lump it together in one place, Jeremy, but a lot of these signings don't work out for the amount of money. I'm not talking about the Lions in particular. I'm talking just in general across the NFL, because this league is so hit and miss that if you're looking for the massive splash signing, I know people really wanted Danielle Hunter. He's off the board. Where did he go again?
Texans.
That's right. But I'm not sure. I don't understand the reticence when it comes to, I don't want to even call it conservative nature, of Lions free agency.
Selectiveness is what Brad Holmes
selective,
likes to use.
Selective, but we've talked about, I think you used the word shotgun earlier, is just let's get a bunch of guys, let's just take some open box specials, take some high character guys, take some guys who really want to scrap and fight, see what comes out, and really it's an emphasis on our own guys to eventually re-sign, our own core we have to re-sign. We're still waiting for the Amon-Ra St. Brown extension to come down the pike. The Lions are clearly deciding they want to build most of their core through the draft, and that's where they want to be getting most of their eventual starters. So I don't see this, I don't really see negatives on this particular, what do I want to say, signing? I think some people, especially when they look at the money that, like, say, the Eagles are throwing around, you have to understand the Eagles, by comparison to the Lions, they're not going to be competitive for too many more years. They want to strike while this iron is hot. The Lions right now, I know the division is getting competitive, Jeremy, but you still have a young core and they want to stay good for a good long while and not just blow everything, make 1 or 2 years, and then suddenly be in a cap hell situation. I just don't see big free agency signing as a characteristic of this regime. And to be honest, that's fine because Brad Holmes' strength is in the draft.
Yeah, there's a couple things I want to unpack there. First is, your point in landing big free agency deals does not necessarily mean you're improving your team. I think it was Albert Breer. It was Albert Breer who posted like the top free agent signings of 2022, like the top 11 guys, 9 of them 2 years later are not even on that team anymore. 9 out of 11. That's like, that's ridiculous. It's like 81-82%. It's insane. Mm-hmm. If you're making these big splash signings, they're really ending up short term deals that you want to get out of after a year or two. The second thing is there's this perception that the Lions, because their Super Bowl window is open, that they suddenly have to change their approach. They have to be more aggressive. The teams around them are getting better. The division is getting better. You have to get better at the same rate that they are. And there's this idea that the Lions' approach that they've taken over the past 2 years is somehow like plateauing. But it's not. You continue to build through the draft. You continue to add talent through the draft. You continue to keep the guys that you got through the draft. It's continually adding on top. And listen, I'll be the first to admit amongst anyone, I think, that the draft is not easy. The draft is a lot of times an absolute crapshoot, and it's hard to do what Brad Holmes did through the first 3 years in hitting at the rate that he did. But he has hit at the rate that he did. That's how they got into where they are. That's how they went from a 3-13 and one team to a NFC championship, you know, almost Super Bowl contender in 2 off seasons. It's not easy to do, but Brad Holmes can do it. That's why we've all been calling him special. That's why he won draft of the year. That's why he won executive of the year. We entrust this guy to be able to continue to hit in the draft. And what has been the one constant amongst the most successful franchises over the past 30 years? They draft well. They don't hit on free agency a ton. It's great if you can, but every single franchise that has really been a consistent winner and a model of what other NFL teams are chasing win through the draft.
Absolutely. I just look at teams like first one that comes to mind again is the Ravens, Baltimore Ravens. Funny because we're looking at them signing Derrick Henry here, but you know, like that's a small drop in the bucket. They are one of those teams that I just associate with them doing the draft. And guess what? The Ravens are always in the playoffs. I don't think this is the end of anything right now. I don't think the Lions are unaware that, like some fans have tried to say, of that their secondary is bad. That's why they're investing in all of this, because they don't want to run Kendall Vildor and Jerry Jacobs out there. Like these are approaches. They may not be the blockbuster approaches, but you're not going to get blockbuster guys at these positions either, especially as much as we've talked about cornerback, Jeremy. It is becoming more and more of a position I think teams are holding onto just because the best ones out there are becoming more and more rare to get. You're not getting lockdown corners. The age of Richard Sherman and Darrelle Revis is over. And what are the Lions trying to do? They're adapting to that reality. They're getting a bunch of different guys to use in rotation, to use for specific things, and they want to play press man coverage. I think that is the right approach. We'll see how it pans out. And like, I know that I do not know.
There's only one thing more I want to say, and it's that one player away approach that I feel like a lot of Lions fans think, like, oh, they were, if they want to be, you know, instead of just an NFC championship and contender, they want to be a Super Bowl. They just need to get better. They just need to add one more guy. They need to add one more lockdown corner. They need to add one more pass rusher. I get it, but adding one more guy doesn't necessarily fix anything. Adding CJ Gardner-Johnson last year didn't fix anything. He got injured. And this is what Brad Holmes said when he talked about the one player approach. It's not about just getting one player to take you over the top, because you never know if that guy is going to be available. You never know if that guy is going to fit in your scheme. You never know if he's going to fit in your locker room. The tried and true way is to build depth, because everyone talks about the superstars, and the superstars are important. And that's part of the reason why the Lions are what they are. But the untold truth is, when you get into December, when you get into January football, sometime you're on CB4. Sometimes you're on guard 3. Sometimes you're on wide receiver 6. And those are the guys that win you championships, because it's January football and you need that depth. And so if the Lions are using free agency to build out their depth, good. You have to. That's how it works.
I'm sorry, the one player away thing, I say this a lot, but like that smells a whole hell of a lot of basketball talk infecting football talk from general sports talk. Like just like with quarterback stuff, like that feels like the one guy away approach feels like that's a basketball subject that somehow makes its way into football, and people don't realize the ratios of player means no team is ever just one guy away. Unless that guy is, like, I don't know, a quarterback, and the Lions have Jared Goff right now. But I think we'll wrap it there. Dan Skipper also got re-signed. Not much to say there. He's reporting as eligible.
Good job, Skip.
Yeah. No, great. I think he's very versatile for some of the fun things that they do with 6 linemen out there. So he's proven his worth in regard. 1-year deal for Dan Skipper. We'll be back here on Pride Detroit PODcast whenever we get more information, more free agency coming here down the pike. It'll be a rotating cast here. And I do know that this might be this will be interesting to see, as we are still yet to hit the actual start of free agency. Very funny.
Wednesday, 4 p.m. Happy New Year.
Let's do it. Happy calendar league new year. For myself, for Jeremy Reisman, we're going to get out of here at Chris Perfett, at Detroit Online. We'll see you Starside.